It's great to be able to have a chance to share a few things with you from God's Word. And so we're going to kind of dive right into it. Because usually I have more to say than I've got time. So, that's no secret to you, right? Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, let's, I think we all can look around our world today and kind of scratch our head and wonder what the heck is going on. And, I gave up watching the news a long time ago. I just couldn't take it. And, I kind of hear about things that are going on, tragedies that take place, the things that people are saying about each other and the ways that people are treating each other. And, it's just a crazy world that we live in. So we're going to try to dive in a little bit and try to get a better understanding of why things are the way they are and see what happens. I'm going to read a scripture, hope you'll read it with me, that I haven't read in a long time, and I haven't really heard anybody publicly read this scripture in a long time. It's kind of a tough scripture, so I don't want you to get twitchy on me, And, don't freak out. This is God's Word. And so we're going to look at it and kind of make a couple of observations, and hopefully it will, when it's all said and done, we will have a better idea of how we can more fully live into the eternal, abundant life that God has pioneered for us and made possible for us. As Christians. So, Romans 1, I think it's verse 16, it starts there. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. And let me just say this. It isn't just makes us right in His sight. It just makes us right. Okay? It's not just so God will feel good about us and that God will think everything's okay, but things will be okay. That's what the gospel does to us. The gospel makes us right. Not, I'm right and you're wrong, but I'm right. I am. Things are well. Things are right. Things are the way that they ought to be. That's what the good news is all about. That my life can be what it ought to be. What I really deep down in my heart long for it to be. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see three things. I can clearly see His invisible qualities. We can see His eternal power and His divine nature so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. It's just a Bible everybody can read, isn't it? It's just got the universal language that God has written it before our eyes. Every step that we take, it's really the only thing that can counterbalance all the garbage that gets poured into our lives every day, right? And so He says, let me just surround you Let me tell you, everywhere you go, everywhere you look in my creation, you can see my invisible qualities, my eternal power and divine nature. I am something else, man. I am the real deal. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas about God was like, about what God was like. You know, there's just a lot of crazy ideas about God going around these days, isn't it? People say, I have no idea what God is like. Or I think God is like this. Or God is just saying, look around, man. Open your eyes. They began to think up foolish ideas about God was like. As a result, there's consequences. When we start thinking foolish ideas about what God is like, what happens? What happens to our lives? As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious, everlasting God, they worship idols made to look like mere people, birds, animals, or reptiles, or any other created thing that we worship these days. So, God abandoned them. God says, I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to force you to do anything. That's just not who I am. If that's the choice you make, I will abandon you to do whatever shameful things your heart desires. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. That's really the title of our message today. Trading the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served things. Worshipped and served things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. It's in the Bible. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sex relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved, or that just comes with that. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to the foolish things and let them do the things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate. We're reading the newspaper now. We're watching the news. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent ways of sinning. And they disobey their parents on top of that. So listen, children. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They are heartless. They have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Okay, take a breath. Lord, have mercy. What are we doing? All right, you know, it's just kind of, it's our world. It's what's happened to our world. And he says, the gospel is the power of God saving everyone who believes. Saving them from what? And I think naturally our default would be saving them from hell. That's kind of, you know, unfortunately, I think so many times the reason we do things that we do or don't do the things we don't do is so that we won't go to hell. If that's the reason you're doing what you're doing or not doing what you're not doing, you're worshiping, you're believing some things about God that is a lie. Because that's not what this is all about. He says, I want to save you from yourself. That's where I want to save you from from your bad choices. I want to save you from your failures, from your wounds, from the bad things that you have done to yourself, and from the bad things that people have done to you. All those things that literally kill us, that diminish us, that dehumanize us, that scar us, our behaviors, our attitudes, our emotions, that wreck us personally, relationally, our marriages, our families, our communities, our world. God is saying, the gospel will save you. It will make you right. I want to save you from all of that. I want to put you together. I want you to live in spite of all that this world throws your way, in spite of everything that has happened to you, that is bad, that's unfair, the things that you have done to yourself out of your foolishness. God says, I can save you from that. That's what the gospel does. People being lost are people who have lost their way. That's what the guy was singing about. The sheep. We are all like sheep who are lost and have gone our own way. I'm making my own decisions based on my own pea brain, my own wonderful life experience. He says, if you start making decisions like that, you will never find your way home. I mean, it's a terrible feeling to be lost, isn't it? We had that feeling several times in Puerto Rico. Because what we're relying on, our GPS just wasn't working all the time. And it was like, wow, there's no telling where I'm going to end up, or if I'll ever find my destination. And so what has happened when we talk about people being lost, it doesn't just mean they're going to hell. It means they're lost. They've lost their way. That's frustrating. Especially if you've been deliberately misled. Yikes. So, we live in a wacky world. Do we all agree on that? Yeah. Yes, we do. And you know, it's not an issue of whether or not you believe in God. That's not the issue here. The issue is, what do you believe about God? That's really the issue that determines the course of your life and the outcome of your life. It's not whether or not you believe in God, but is what do you believe about God? That is so important. I am so thirsty. Thank you, Fenton. Will you fight through the battle and the Philistines and get me a drink from the well, my brother? Okay. Lord have mercy. I haven't even got through the introduction. Half my time's gone. That's what I hate about preaching. Well, where do we get a clear picture of God? Well, we talked about the creation. But really, there's one other place. There are two sources for us if you want to get a clear picture of who God is. Number one is His creation. We'll talk a little bit about that later.
This should keep you going another 30 minutes at least.
God. Oh, thank you so much. Creation, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son,
whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. Romans 1. The universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus Christ. He's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, God says, I created this world and I'm going to make it right. I'm going to set it straight. I'm going to save it. I'm not going to flood it. I'm going to save it. I am this world I created. I will provide purification from sins. I will wipe out everything bad that's happened to you. I will clear your slate. I will recreate you. I will make you a new creature in Christ. After he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in him, so he became as much superior to the angels as his name he has inherited is superior to theirs. We talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus went back to heaven a different person than when he left. He came back changed. He became something that he wasn't after he accomplished his mission. Colossians 1, verse 15. Christ is the invisible image. It's the visible image. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Don't you like these scriptures? He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Skip down to verse 19. See, I'm trying to pull it together here. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ and through him to reconcile everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. You see his power, his desire. I created all this. And it's in such chaos. There's such division. There's such alienation. There's such unforgiveness. There's such a lack of compassion. Jesus said, let me put that back together for you. Let me make peace with everything in heaven on earth. And let me reconcile everything, every broken relationship, every alienated family member, every marriage that's broken and fractured and suffering. I can reconcile that. I can put it together for you, but you've got to understand who I am and what I am like before you do that, because if you believe lies about me, it's all going to break down. It's not going to work for you. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, this, that, and the other. And I think what was Philip says, Lord, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. What did Jesus say? Philip, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. All righty then. You know, it's so important for us to know the things that about God that are true, and not to exchange the truth about God for a lie. So don't let modern day Christianity define who God is to you. Don't let the church at large define who God is for you, because they will fail you. You know, Paul says later in his letter to the Romans, chapter 2, the name of God, he's talking to Roman Jewish Christians. And he says, you know, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you guys. Ouch. Yikes. And we wonder why people have a bad attitude toward God. You know, I mean, isn't it true? I mean, why are people so bummed out about God and thinking so poorly about God and thinking God's just irrelevant, that God's the bad guy? Why do people feel that way about him? Well, one of the reasons is because of Christians, weirdo Christians. Weirdo Christians. You know, isn't it funny? Nearly every time you see a Christian on TV or in the movie, he's a weirdo. You know, he's got, you know, he's like some, you know, pervert, or he's going to kill somebody because their family's not doing right. It's just some weird religious weirdo. But to be honest, modern Christianity, for the most part, has failed to show us what God is really like and who he really is. Honestly, we fail to model the life of Christ, the new way that he has pioneered for us, of compassion, forgiveness, forgiving. Reconciliation, joy, contentment, integrity, peace, genuine love without an agenda, true intimacy in marriage. On top of the fact that sometimes I ran into a guy last year, Christian man. He's having sexual relations with three women at one time that he's not married to. But he's a Christian. God's name is blasphemed because of that man. Anybody who sees him and understands he calls himself a Christian, God's name is blasphemed because of him. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." You. Me? Yeah, you. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let everyone see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. That was God. That's God. Jesus' intention for us. That we would be the light of the world. That we would be able to show the world the way. Are we perfect? No. But brothers and sisters, man, let's take seriously our calling to live, fully live into this life that Christ has pioneered and paved the way and empowers us to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, and we all know people who have lost their faith in God because of what went on in the church or how some Christian treated them, right? We all know people who just gave up on God because of that. And whether that's a reason or an excuse, I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question. But the fact of the matter is, there are people who have left Jesus, left the church because of that. And all we can do is go, wow, all right, I can do better. I'm going to disappoint people, and I have disappointed people. Just ask my wife. On many occasions. But because we have learned more about what God is like, we still love each other. And we still have a marriage that is sparkling. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Okay, I've got 30 seconds. Tell you, I hate preaching. All right. This is crazy. There's another reason why people. I don't know what that is. I honestly think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. All right. There's another reason why people trade the truth about God for a lie, because there's another being in this world called the God of this world. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message of Christ, the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You know, the picture that is painted for us every single day of what we must do, what we must have, what we must experience, what we must be a part of in order to have life is overwhelming. The God of this world has poured billions and billions of dollars to win our hearts and to blind our minds to see the glory and goodness and rightness of who our God really is, and what His plans and intentions for every single one of us truly is. And so He tries to distort those things about God. We start believing things about God that just aren't true. Okay, we're going to deal with one. This could be a series. We're just going to talk about one thing. You know, on the way back from Puerto Rico, I don't fly much, but you get to watch free movies. It's pretty cool. So, you know, I decided I was going to watch kids' movies, because I just wanted to have good things coming into me. So I watched Coco. I watched Jungle Book. And probably my favorite was Captain Underpants. That was one great movie. How many people saw it? Okay, see, either I got a lot of credibility or I blew all my credibility right there. Captain Underpants was a great movie because the arch nemesis is Professor Poopy Pants. And Professor Poopy Pants' goal was to take away all happiness and joy out of the children. Okay, and so, really, in many people's mind, God is Professor Poopy Pants. Because if it's fun, it's not on the list. If it's fun, if it gives you pleasure and joy, you can't do that. Now, how many people believe that? But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Some of us still have a subtle belief in that lie. I can't do that anymore. Boy, I sure wish I could, but I can't if I want to go to heaven. But I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, how am I not going to do that anymore? Now, you pick out what it is for you. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, and have it to the full." You will not miss anything. I'm not going to take anything away from you. I'm not going to deny you anything. I'm not going to put this on anything that will give you full life. Full, 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 100%. If I tell you something is bad for you, it's not just so I can be on a power trip, just so I can control you. These aren't arbitrary guidelines. These are rules to build a life on, a life that will sustain the storms, the barrage, the injuries, the influence of this world. It will sustain anything. It will stand strong. I have come that you might have life, have it to the full. Other translations say a rich and satisfying life. Have life and have it in all of its fullness. You look at creation. You look at creation. And how marvelous,
how beautiful, how perfect, how every detail to the minutest particle has beauty. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing to look at it. And God says, that's who I am. That's who I am. If I can do that with this, what do you think I can do with this? If I can create this beautiful, unimaginably great, mysterious world and universe, just let me take hold of your life. Give me you. And I guarantee you, you will have a life that puts the life of this world to shame. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Again, we're not talking about going to hell here. We're talking about destruction. The destruction of your life, the destruction of your heart, the destruction of your soul, the destruction of who you are. You take the broad road, it will lead to destruction. But if you take the narrow road, it is a road that leads to life. It's not instantaneous. Just like the destruction is not instantaneous. Oh, at first it all looks so great, feels so good. Oh, just wait till the roosters come to, till the chickens come to roost. Not so good anymore, is it? I had a lot of points about this stuff. Can't make them. It wasn't long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant sin of life of sin, Ephesians 2. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. Okay. We were going to have a video, but we don't have time for the video. We'll have to watch that another time. But it was about God's creation. Just to take it in. And the name of the video was, I Believe. And it's not just that we... Am I getting permission? Okay, okay. As we watch this video... Were you saying play it or not play it? Okay, all right. Okay. All right, this is the conclusion of the sermon. As you watch this video, it's I believe. But to believe not just that there is a God, but this is what my God can do with me. This is His will and His intentions for us individually, for Him to create in us this life in Christ. Okay, here we go.